5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Then it is a great privilege. Even great honor.
Put moron number two on the phone.
That's just about the highlight.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
We're all listening to the Rush Hour. Hello and welcome. And this man, it's a new week. We got a new co-host in, and what a star he is. He was born in Tassie, grew up in Queensland, and dominated in Victoria. 336 games, 718 goals. Nick Revolt, welcome back to the Rush Hour, my friend.
Thank you, Billy. Dominated worldwide, I might have you know, Bill. But happy Monday to you, Billy. How was your weekend? What did you get up to? You got off to a roaring start, didn't you?
Well, we had an early start on Thursday. You caught up with Silly Daisy and the man in there, Rabsy and Jill and everyone. We had a bit
Set
of
you
a,
back a Thursday a night, doesn't it?
Well, it does when you sit on a stool for 7 hours and don't move and drink Carlton Draft for 7 hours. So that didn't, so I was a bit slow, and then had Oscar's 21st on Friday. Caught up with a few of the boys, and we had a couple of little frothies, but gee, they're well behaved footballers nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what they drink? Drink this fizzer drink, which is low calories, low carbs, no sugar. A bit of alcohol in it, but it doesn't put on weight. It's called Fizzer.
Fizzer. Mm. Yes.
I should have drank it started.
The seltzers, yeah. So basically the generic alcohol, isn't it, that goes in there. So it's not gin, it's not vodka, it's just
alcohol.
It's just alcohol.
Well, I couldn't work out what alcohol it was. I couldn't work it out. But anyway, I had a couple then, but
no good.
That certainly
talk me through the 7 hours on the stool. So if you're able to sit there for 7 hours without moving, who's your lackey? Who's getting your beers for you? Did you have a little gopher?
Bloke in the studio there.
He was looking a little sheepish when I went down that line of questioning. Come on, mate. Stand on your own two feet.
No, we shared it around. We did share it around.
Right, okay. Yeah, well, he reckons he didn't move for 7 hours.
It was like two
steps. I went to the dunny.
Right, gotcha.
I went to the dunny.
Yeah.
And Ethan. But also, and then last night, or yesterday, had a Christmas party for the Wharf Shed. So I didn't know we had so many employees. We had about 40 of them. So that was another big day. But a bit better than yours, I hear, Rui. And you were doing the opposite. You were shooting from both ends.
Well, yeah. Thanks, Bill. A bit crook on the weekend, Bill. A bit of food poisoning. Thanks for sharing that with everyone. They got a nice visual now. So, yeah, no, I didn't move much either, Bill. But I had to take care of it all myself. I didn't have a lackey doing the hard work for me.
Yeah, well, fair enough too. But you did watch the Australian Open and you saw Novak and Naomi win, yes?
Yes, it's we've been spoiled, haven't we, really? We'll start with Naomi Osaka. Is this a changing of the guard, do you think?
Yes, no doubt, mate, no doubt.
She was emotional, Serena, wasn't she? So let's get sort of Serena done with first. I think you could tell in the way she spoke in the aftermath of that game that there was almost a realisation there that the new kid's on the block. It's going to be tough for her to win anymore, and she's going to be a great champion for a long time and the sort of champion that people are really going to warm to.
No doubt about that. She's likeable, and she won easy, beat Jennifer. Or Jenny, I'm not sure, Brady, 6'4", 6'3". And Naomi wasn't sure either. Have a listen to this after the game.
Firstly, I want to... Do you like to be called Jenny or Jennifer?
Jenny.
Okay. Firstly, I want to congratulate Jennifer. We played in the semis of the US Open.
A little passive-aggressive style, Billy. How's that for a power move? What do you like, William or Billy?
I like Anthony, and that's my real name, but calls me Anthony. Nicholas. But too good, and you're right, changing the guard. She blew away Serena earlier in the semis. But what about Novak? And I don't know if he's that well-liked, to be honest, and there was a few boos I see, but a record 9th Australian Open title. And as he said, Rue, he's only playing for majors now. To be number one, which he will be next month, that's a record. For the most weeks as number one,
yep.
But his other big one is to win the most majors.
Well, it's amazing, really, when you look at the leaderboard of major winners. You've got Federer and Nadal both on 20, and then Novak sitting on 18 majors. So extraordinary to consider that the three highest on the tally are all within this era. It's unbelievable. Is he going to get them? Who's going to finish out of the three of them on top, do you think?
Well, it might be Novak. I think it might be because he's still pretty fit. I know he had carried an injury during this tournament, but he looks pretty fit to me. He's got a good game, and the other two are starting to just drop away a bit. So I think it might be Novak, and good on him. He takes away $4 million. They both take away $4 million too, by the way. That's not a bad effort. And well done to the Australian Open for getting through, for putting on the tournament and getting through it, because I think they were faced with some challenges also.
Well, you could tell the way people were. But what were they booing for, do you think, Bill? Were they booing? Were they booing Novak? Were they booing the government?
I reckon it might have been a bit of everything. But well done to everyone for putting it on, and we got through that. There was some NRL on the weekend. The All-Stars, the Maori boys took on the Indigenous All-Stars. It was an unbelievable game, 10-all draw up there. And I tell you what was interesting, mate. The Maoris and the Indigenous boys, just with their haka, And the war dance the Indigenous boys did. It was just unbelievable. Did you catch that, Roo?
I didn't see that. Talk me through it.
Mm. Oh, just, you know how passionate they get.
Yeah. The hark is unbelievable. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, mate, it was really good. 10-all, as I said, up there.
10-all?
10-all.
What do you
mean,
10-all? Everyone gets a trophy?
Yeah, well, everyone, there was no golden point or anything like that.
It's an exhibition game, Bill.
Well, I know.
Get us a result.
But there was something that came out of it.
You like this, NRL?
There was something that came out of it. Jonathan Thurston's was on the boundary line. He had a chat to Alex Johnson, and just let's see how that played out.
Oh, no.
AJ, normally you're getting that cutout pass from Latrell. He put it on the boot. How's that unfold for you?
The play before, I put a not so good little kick. So this time, Trell put the beautiful kick in for me. And yeah, it's beautiful. My first try for All Stars. So I'm stoked, yeah. Awesome feeling.
He's pretty happy with himself.
Yeah, it slipped in, doesn't it? We've seen it. We've seen it happen in the aftermath of some big games before, and he's excited. He scored a try. I don't think he'll do it again.
No. Hey, what about Carlton have finally had their best and fairest for 2020, Roo?
Well, what was the motivation? Because they didn't have a crowd attend the best and fairest, did they?
No.
So why who won it for a start?
Jacob Wooding.
Well, poor old Jacob. He's had to wait, what is it? What are we, six months after the bloody season finished for Carlton to organise their best and fairest?
No, I know. But obviously the pandemic, and they put it back, and then they're going to have it, I think, last week or a couple of weeks ago. And anyway, well done to Jacob Wiedering, who had a really good year.
Great year he did, yeah. He was probably a bit unlucky, wasn't he, not to be All-Australian last year, Jacob Wiedering. Yeah. But they do say you need to have a good one before you get in. So back it up this year and he might slot in.
How many would you kick on, Jacob?
Probably one or two a quarter. That's that's neither here nor there.
Eight, so that's eight.
Maybe eight. Hey, Bill, did you catch any of the cricket over the weekend? So we know the Aussies we're not going to South Africa now. So all the big guns are playing in the domestic series, and Pat Cummins has been appointed captain of New South Wales, and his teammate, the ex-Australian captain Steve Smith, was asked about his captaincy, Pat Cummins' captaincy, and gave what I would call not a glowing endorsement on first SEN and then the home of cricket, Fox Cricket.
Good question. I think being a fast bowler, it'd be tough, but that's not for me to really answer. That's probably a question for him, so we'll wait and see.
With the captain, Pat Cummins, how'd you find him out there with the C next to his name? How'd he handle things in the field?
Oh, it was good. I think it was a pretty sort of easy day in regards of like plans and stuff. I think it was just bashing the wicket, good hard lengths, and letting them sort of make the mistakes, squeezing in the field. So I don't think it was a tough day yet. See how he goes when we get one.
Oh,
he wants it back.
You reckon?
Is he a bit dirty, Steve Smith? What do you think?
It was lukewarm, wasn't it, really? But there was a bit of a laugh there at the end, a bit of a tongue-in-cheek. So I think they all get on pretty well. But would you be happy for him to be captain of Australia again, Brew?
Well, I don't know why you take it away from. I reckon Tim Payne's done a bloody awesome job. I know he got criticised pretty heavily by some people in the media over the summer, but I reckon he's been great, Tim Payne, so I reckon we've moved on.
No, I'm with you there. I do like what Tim Payne's done.
He hasn't quite been the same, Steve Smith, has he, since Sandpaper Gate?
He's not quite right, to be honest. mate, the way he leaves those deliveries, it just drives me mad, feeding him, and he's, not sure. But anyway, Roo-Roo, who did poo-poo over the weekend.
Bill. Come on, spew-spew, too.
It's spew-spew. He had a bad weekend, poor old Roo-Roo. But
it's a shithouse, Bill.
Well, he's going to have a great show because we have a massive show. Ryan Brokoff, the brand new South Melbourne Phoenix player, is going to join us, former NBA player, hoping to get back into the big league as well. Plus, Seb Costello is going to join us. He's got an exclusive interview tonight with Mark Thompson. So it'll be very interesting what comes out of that. This is the Rush Hour, Triple M. On the brand new listener app and on your radio, this is the Rush Hour with Billy Brownless and Nick Revolt.
The NBL went into meltdown last week when Southeast Melbourne Phoenix announced the signing of one of Australia's best basketballers, Ryan Brokoff.
Brokoff from Brunson. Yes, sir! Ryan Brokoff. And that's what he does.
Before he steps onto the court, he'll have to endure 14 days of quarantine. But that's going to be easy compared to listening to Billy talk hoops.
Just downtown. Just swoosh.
Please welcome Ryan Brokoff.
Ryan, great to have you on the Rush Hour. Welcome to the southeastern Melbourne Phoenix. But you would know Melbourne, mate, because you grew up in Frankston. Welcome to the show. And how was living in Frankston, mate?
Thanks, guys. It's good to be on. Yeah, the real heartland of Melbourne down there in Frankston. had a great childhood down there. Been a bit of a tough area. It's had a little bit of toughness to me.
Exactly. What stadiums did you light up down there, mate? You got any records that you hold down that way?
Oh, you know, as you would know, you kind of lose track of that stuff, Billy.
Two
of you down there. No, obviously, Frankston was a great home and great place to grow up playing, and Frankston Stadium still, doing well. So be looking forward to get back down there and shooting around.
So when will you be back, Ryan? You're obviously back to play with the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix in the NBL, which we're all really excited about. But you're currently quarantining in Sydney. When are you actually going to get on the court?
Yeah, I got 2 weeks here in Sydney. So that's just sort of started. And, first sort of full day, it's already a pretty long day, it feels like, with the jet lag. Ooh. But as soon as we clear this quarantine, we'll head straight to Melbourne and get on the court with the boys and just see how everything progresses as to when we'll get on, when I'll actually play in games. But I feel really good, really fit. It'll just be about getting, used to playing with the team and building up some chemistry and hopefully it won't be too long after I'm down there that I'll be back on court.
They had a good win, Southeastern Melbourne Phoenix. They opened up the NBL Cup. We'll talk about that shortly, with a very good win, 99-83 over Brisbane. Gee, did you watch the game? They started so slow. They were terrible early, Rhino, and then got going. But you got to get some early starts, mate.
Yeah, it seems like they've had a bit of trouble starting games for most of the season. But got to watch a fair bit of it. I was struggling with some jet lag, so I fell asleep before the game and set an alarm and fought through it to get up and watch the boys and they play really well in the second half and obviously finished the game very strong. But yeah, you obviously want to get off to better starts and not get yourself in such a hole. So hopefully that's something that will get addressed and the team will do better.
Brian, clearly you've done some amazing things in basketball, not just in this country, but internationally too. Playing in the NBA was the Dallas Mavericks, some of the best players going around, Dirk Nowitzki from another era and now Luka Doncic. What's this stepping stone back with the Phoenix designed to do for you, for your career? Is it to get back into the NBA at some stage?
Look, it could be. Not sort of closing the door on the NBA, but, before this, we're kind of just sitting around in the US waiting on another opportunity to come up in the NBA or we're overseas, and it's just been such a slow year and COVID's affected so much, especially over in Europe with their basketball. So it just made sense to come home where it's safe, get back on the court, get back playing. The big thing I'm looking forward to is, you know, the Olympics. That's sort of the big reason to come back and get a good body of work leading into that. You know, big aspirations to be part of the team and to challenge for a medal, and that's the big goal that I'm sort of focusing on right now. And whatever happens after this season happens, and we'll figure it out. But really, just want to be ready for Tokyo.
Is a medal a realistic opportunity for the Boomers, do you think, Ryan? So, and can you beat the Americans? Is that possible, or do you just have them sort of penciled in for a gold and then the rest just compete amongst themselves?
No, I definitely don't have them penciled in. The gap in, you know, basketball from all countries is just getting so much smaller as to who's the best team. But as you guys have probably seen, the 24-man squad that's been announced for the Boomers, and the talent level and NBA players and everything, you know, we've got such a strong squad. So it's going to be tough to make the team for anybody, even NBA guys. And I think that competition will really push Australian basketball further than it's been before. And we are definitely a legitimate chance to medal. And our goal going in will be to win gold. You know, you're not going there to finish second or third. You want to win gold.
It's going to be exciting, Rui, because what I'm hearing, they're going to have nearly their best side they've ever put together, the Aussies. And I'm hearing the American side mightn't be their A side, because not everyone's happy with the way, I suppose, the country's been run, and their heart's not in playing for America. So look out for the Aussie. When does that squad get trimmed down, old Brocky?
It'll be sometime in June, July, before you head away to... I think basically we're doing a camp, and from that camp, the team gets trimmed down. We play some exhibition games, and we head straight to Tokyo. So all those details are getting figured out, and it's obviously adjusting day to day with how, you know, COVID is affecting everything. So it's pretty fluid right now, but that seems to be the plan. But it's going to be a very short window with, you know, guys finishing up in the NBA and getting everyone together before the Olympics.
Looking forward to watching him out there with the Phoenix. Why number 45?
It's my Frankston number. That's the short answer.
Oh,
that was the first number I got down in Frankston, and I have no idea why I got 45. but that was a number when I was a little tacker running around the courts at Frankston, and, you know, I've had it basically my whole professional career, and even once or twice with the Boomers, I've put 45 on, and it's just my number.
And just excuse my co-host here, Ryan, you know, dishing out nicknames, Brocky. What do they actually call you, Ryan, out on the court? Do they, you know, call Ryan when they want you to pass the ball, or what's your nickname?
It's actually Rowdy.
Rowdy.
Yeah.
There you go, Bill.
From a very, very young age, back in Frankston, everything reverts back to Frankston. An old coach down there, I was a pretty quiet kid growing up, and ironic nickname of Rowdy, and it's stuck.
Bit like you getting called Slim, Bill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or Redhead's getting called Blue.
Bluey, yeah. One of those exactly. Ironic types.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly right. Now, Rabsy, tell us about the cup they're all playing in at the minute, please.
Well, the all general admission tickets to the NBL Cup are just $10. $10. That's all you got to pay to get a ticket to go. And all the games are in Melbourne, of course. So go to mblcup.com.au now to buy your tickets and enjoy two games of world-class basketball and entertainment for the price of one. And the South East Melbourne Phoenix are playing tomorrow night against the Adelaide 36ers at John Cain Arena, Bill.
$10, that's all.
That's all.
And we won't see Brocky because he's up there in Sydney. He's got another 13 day. Oh, geez, he's going to do that tough. Hey, good luck up there, mate.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a challenge for a young son, but we'll get through and down to Melbourne soon.
That's rough.
Yeah, little Jack.
That's right.
Done your research, Bill. Very, very impressive. Good luck, Rowdy.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Ryan Brockhoff from the South East Melbourne Phoenix. Hey, Bill, your quote's coming up next, and then we've got Costello on because he's got an exclusive interview with Mark Bomber Thompson tonight. It's the Rush Hour, Triple M. Nick Riewoldt, Billy Brownless, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. You can listen to us on the brand new Listener app or on Triple M. Right now, it's time for this.
Gather round to hear Wisdom Brownless. It's Billy's quote of the day.
The only thing worse than starting something and failing is not starting something.
Good
could have said
not,
it better.
Not your smoothest delivery.
Jeez, you say
the content was great, the delivery lacked.
I was, this is the last word. I was going really well. The only thing worse than starting something and failing is not starting something.
Yeah.
There you go, Ruth. Another good one for you to take home and think about.
thanks, Bill.
Because I know it takes you a while to just
yeah,
go
yeah.
No,
I got my head around it the second bills. Time. Thank you.
And if you want to book Bill for a motivational speaking, where do you email Bill?
Billy.brownless@scn, isn't it? SCA.
That's the other network. Yeah. Hey, speaking of other networks, Channel 9, Seb Costello now works. He used to work for us. Now he works at The Current Affair, and he's got an exclusive with Mark Bomber Thompson. Yes. We're going on the show next to chat about that. Bill, all eyes, I reckon, will be on Channel 9 tonight at 7 p.m. watching A Current Affair.
No doubt about that. A friend of Triple M, Seb Costello, of course, who was on the Hot Breakfast and now working at Channel 9, has sat down with Bomber Thompson. And this is a raw interview. You've got to watch this one tonight. As you said, Channel 9 at 7 p.m. Seb joins us on the Rush Hour. Seb, well done on the interview. What I've seen just looks unbelievable. How did you get to do the interview with Bomber, mate? How did it come out?
Yeah, g'day, Billy. G'day, Rui, Rabs, and the Rush Hour family. Look, it started last year, actually. When I think we all were just totally crushed by the news of what had happened to Shane Tuck. And, you know, I think a lot of us at that time were sort of scratching our heads thinking, you know, how does it get to a point where somebody convinces themselves that things are so bad they're not going to get any better? And around that time, Bomber Thompson, there was words coming out that he was sort of getting his life back together. And I thought to myself, you know, here's a guy that very well could have decided that things were so bad they weren't going to get better. Here's a guy that, you know, won 3 premierships as a player, 2 as a coach, and had sort of gone from the MCG with the cup to the magistrates' court and a drug conviction. And I thought to myself, but Bomber didn't give up, you know. And why was that? Why didn't Bomber give up? And I knew that if we could get him to sit down and talk about these issues, the good stuff, the bad stuff, the whole bit, we could come up with something that could teach people a lot about how to pull themselves out of dark places. And so I started sort of talking with Bomber behind the scenes, Bill, the people around him as well at the end of last year. And after, you know, one thing that struck me first up from those conversations was that Bomber felt a real obligation to use his story to help people. And if we could get to a point where he felt comfortable, you know, he'd certainly be interested in sitting down and having that conversation. And that's what people will see tonight at 7 o'clock. And I know the Rush Hour family would like to hear a bit of it. And this is where we talk about the tough stuff. And you've got to admire Bomber for wanting to share this stuff, you know, about some of the bad decisions he's made. You know, I asked him if he ever thought that he was going to go to prison when those charges were looming over his head. And here's what he said.
I never thought I'd go to prison at all. You know, I had police come and talk to me and say it's pretty serious. I was a drug user. At no point did I ever sell drugs.
It's pretty full on, as you hear there. Yeah. And that's the truth, you know. The drug trafficking charges didn't stick. He did plead guilty to drug possession. A lot of it, guys, is we talk about the overall impact of the supplement saga. Now, I think we can all agree, whatever you thought actually went on at Essendon, we have never seen a story where there was media attention like that. You know, people door-stopping James Hurd as he went to work every day, you know, interviews every night about it. And it's clear that it took a toll on people's lives, both for Bomber, but also people like James Hurd. And he talks pretty honestly about James and how James has gone through some tough times and how did we get to that situation where this sort of pressure was being put on people in the AFL industry? Take a listen.
He's been 3 times worse than mine. He's tried to end it. How does James Hurd get to the point where he just wants to leave this world, you know? And a lot of the family's got, the, you know, the friends. How does he get to the point? Like, what is wrong with people, like governments and, you know, systems, you know, organisations? What is wrong with them doing this to people, you know, pushing them to this point?
But, Billy, I should add, this isn't just a, you know, it's a sad story, sure, but there's a lot of reason for hope and optimism out of the story you'll see tonight. And a massive part of that is the way that Bomber has actually re-engaged with his family, his boys, Michael and Daniel, who who mean a hell of a lot to him, and they've kind of decided to get back into their father's lives as well. And that's been a huge reason that Bomber's been able to get on his two feet again, re-engaging with the love of family.
Hey, Seb, that sentence there around the government and systems and pushing people like James Hird to reach the depths that he did, and that's pretty big for Bomber to volunteer that. They've obviously still got that sort of relationship, which is great. But do you still sense a well of anger there that they were pushed to this level of despair by the AFL and by the government and by what they thought was, or what some people thought was, a witch hunt at the time?
Yeah, no doubt, Rui. No doubt. And I think this is why, you know, Bomber's story kind of rings so true. You know, he was a guy who saw himself as a person who had a positive impact on the lives of people who came into contact with him. You know, you talk to the Geelong boys. Now, they played for Bomber. Bomber was my coach, and he made me a premiership player. Exactly, yep. As Billy says. So Bomber's identity is around helping people get the most out of themselves. And then he goes to Essendon. What happens. The players who were at Essendon at that time, they probably look back at that period as the worst period of their lives. And clearly Bomber feels a lot of guilt for being a part of that administration. And you know, that frustration and that pain that he felt around that hasn't gone away, Rui.
Well, it certainly had a big impact on not just the coaches and the players that went through that. And you think of someone like Joe Watson, who... he became the poster boy for it, didn't he, really? And it was incredible that he was able to come through as relatively unscathed as he did.
Totally, yeah. I mean, Job's quite an incredible guy and doing a lot with his life now.
Yep.
But as I said, you know, I think the great thing about this Bomber report tonight is, you know, the life lessons that people are going to get out of it, to see how a guy like Bomber, who, you know, had a big fall, has been able to pull himself out of that dark place. And to be able to sort of embrace the love of family again. And I think, you know, he is winning the fight. The guy I sat down with to tape this interview is winning his fight. And I think Australians like to see that. You know, we like to get around people who are prepared to put their hands up and say, I made mistakes, but I'm trying.
Spot
I'm
on.
Trying again.
Quick answer, Sebby. Is he done with footy?
I think he's probably done with the elite level. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he probably has something more to offer. But it's probably one thing to re-engage with your family. It's another to think that the AFL industry might find a role for you again. That might not be the case, but I don't think he needs it either, Billy or Rui. I think, you know, he's at a really happy place at the moment. People ask whether we paid for the interview. We didn't pay for the interview. He never raised it once. Ooh, that wasn't a part of it whatsoever. So I think he's just in a place where he's real content with where he's at the moment.
Well, I'm watching tonight. It's on in about 15 minutes, to be honest. Don't worry about that. A Current Affair, Channel 9 at 7 o'clock tonight. Well done, Seb. An amazing interview, and I'll be watching it.
Yep, well done, Sebby.
Thanks, Billy. Thanks, Rui. Thanks, Rebs.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M. On your home smart speaker.
Hey, Google.
And on your radio. This is Triple M's Rush Hour, Nick Riewoldt and Billy Brownless.
Yes, indeed. It's been a big show. Let me tell you, Ryan Brockhoff, of course. We had the quote of the day. We had Seb Costello. I'm looking forward to that very shortly.
And we'll have a joke soon as well.
And the joke. But first of all, we must welcome you to the show, Rabsy. Welcome to the show.
What did you say?
What did you call him?
Well, I was just commenting on whenever you and Clint are here on the desk, all I see are big white chompers because you guys are having so much fun. You guys are just smiling the whole time. I mean, no one has more fun than you guys.
Yeah. All right. Good to see you, Rock.
Am I out of here?
The Rock.
You kicking me out, chompers?
Rock, you're...
If you smell...
Yeah, I am now.
Oh, Jimmy Courier. He had no idea. He had no idea what he'd said about the chompers because... But I'll tell you what, the cameraman and the audio guys and everyone in the studio, they loved it because he just doesn't like it, Rui. He doesn't like being called chompers.
I saw old Junior Fang, Nath Brown. He said it's gone global now. So it's a global phenomenon, the chomp chomp. But he doesn't like it, and there was a stage there whenever you'd go on the footy show or any of those where they'd actually G you up to do it in the cross when they cross from the news before the footy show. They'd tee you up to actually go out of your way. And I remember Drew Petrie did it one time when he went full knob. We got that, Razzie?
Yeah, we do.
All right, thanks for joining us, Drew, and we'll see you on the footy show tonight.
Thanks, chompity chomp, chomp, chomp.
Okay, thanks for that.
Gee, he used to get flat. We'd be sitting there on a Sunday and he'd get flat. But it happened a long time ago and he just had a bit of work done on him. But he had a nice little dusting and they were bright white. I remember the first time when he came in, they were just bright white. And we're all looking at him going, what have you done, Tony? Something's happened here. And then he opened his mouth. Oh.
So mid-March, Sunday footy show comes on. What's happening? First segment. What do you reckon gets played?
I reckon for the first three shows, Jimmy Courier, it'll be all the chompity chomp chomp stuff. Don't worry about that. We'll have a bit of fun with him. He'll crack the shits and walk off. And, Nafe, does he try and step up and host the show? He's in his chair before he leaves the stage. Let me tell you.
We've got to get to this.
In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Ah, Roo boy, you'll like this. Put your ears on, have a listen to this.
There you go.
Righto. A man was riding a bus, minding his own business, when this gorgeous woman next to him started breastfeeding a baby. The baby wouldn't take it, so she said, "Come on, sweetie, eat it all up, or I'll have to give it to the nice man that's sitting next to me." 5 minutes later, the baby was still not feeding. So she said, "Come on, honey, take it, or I'll give it to this nice man sitting next to me here."
Oh, Bill.
A few minutes later, the anxious man blurted out, "Come on, kid, make up your mind, will you? I was supposed to get off four stops ago."
Nope.
You don't like it?
Nope. They were real creepy.
Yeah. Hang on.
Dubious.
He's taking a phone call.
He's Lee's dropped that on us. Left us to pick up the pieces and take a phone call. Is this real?
This is actually happening.
See you tomorrow, everyone.
See you, mate. Have a good one. You are the king of the divan.
We're back. I am the king of the divan.